Okay, we're going to bring the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. The time is a little bit after 4:07.
Apologize for the delay.
But this afternoon, we want to take public testimony on the new committee substitute for Senate Bill 21. Hopefully, the folks who are listening online have had a chance to look at it or maybe heard about some of the changes this is our third meeting today. I guess briefly, the changes are that the base rate is now raised from the original 25 to 30. The GRE that the resources had is at 30 is now at 20. And other than that, that's the major changes. So with that, we'll just go ahead and get right into public testimony. I'll start in Anchorage. We got Jack Roderick. Jack, are you online, sir? And with us here is let me just let everybody know who's here: Senator Kelly, Senator Olson, Senator Dunleavy, Senator Bishop, and co-chair Senator Fairclough. So, and then myself, Senator Meyer. All right, so let's go ahead and get started here. Let's limit it to 3 minutes. And first person is Jack Roderick. Jack, are you online, sir?
I think I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay.
Or can we turn Jack up a little bit? Okay. Hey, go ahead. If you could put your name on the record, please.
My name is Jack Roderick. I'm speaking from Anchorage. But my advice is to slow down. You're dealing with an extremely complex issue, and the decrease in taps is inevitable. So what little you can do, I'm sure you want to, but if you make any substantial change in the tax now, my reaction is that you're going to have to go back and redo it not too long from now. The progressivity you might tinker with, in my view, but I think you should not make any substantial changes in the existing act. The reserves in the legacy fields have been known for decades. I don't see any reason why a tax break should be given to companies that have known those reserves existed for over 30 years. For example, Exxon made its discovery at Point Thompson before TAPS carried its first barrel. It's done no new exploration since then. BP's drilled its famous Muckluck well that unfortunately was not productive in 1985. BP has done no new exploration. So my view is you don't give tax breaks to people who have not done any new exploration and are simply exploring known fields. That's basically my advice to you guys, and I know it's a tough issue, very complex. I think you ought to slow down, look at it in more depth, take your time, maybe bring it up again next year. And not to be personal here, but this is an extremely complex issue. And so I hope you realize that you may not be prepared to make a good decision. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for joining us this afternoon, Mr. Roderick. Okay, let's go now to Lynn Johnson, also in Anchorage.
Thank you. This is Lynn Johnson in Anchorage. Esteemed Senate Finance Committee members, I'm Lynn Johnson. I've been an Alaska resident for 40 years. I've been a businessman, Dallenbach Corporation, many of you know me, Alaska Support Industry Alliance, MAC, Girdwood Make Alaska Competitive Coalition, Girdwood 2020, Anchorage Rotary Club, and past chairman of the board of the American Red Cross. My message today is very, very simple. We need to become more competitive with other oil-producing basins. North Dakota and Texas are kicking our tails in production rate. Investment capital flows to regions and projects with the best overall rate of return. Alaska, as we know, is already a high-cost basin due to geography and our climate. We are soon to be fourth in domestic production among other oil-producing states. We need a meaningful tax reform that does the following. It needs to be fair to Alaskans, encourages new production, is simple, and is durable. Do it now. This is the third legislative session that I've testified on ACES reform. In this period of 3 years and study and debate, TAP's throughput has declined almost 100,000 barrels per day. We cannot afford further decline or delay. Go for it for our future. Make Alaska competitive again. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Len, for your testimony. Looks like the next person is Radha Kachajinaba. Sorry.
I'm very close.
Good. Thank you. Go ahead. Go ahead, please.
My name is Radha Khadzhanova. I came to Alaska in 93 from Russia to attend school. And I like being a student so much that I got not one but three degrees from UAA, including a graduate level degree in environmental regulation and permitting. I want to use skills and experience I obtained in Alaska to continue to live and work in Alaska. I want the same for my family and friends. I believe that no matter what kind of rhetoric we put on why we're in the situation we're in today, the fact remains facts. What we have been doing thus far is not working. Oil production, which accounts for the lion's share of state revenues, continues to decline. In terms of attracting investment to increase oil production from the existing fields, Alaska is not competitive, either with other oil-producing nations or with other oil-producing states. Many would agree that the devil is in the details, and I trust our elected officials will go over every detail of the proposed bill with a fine tooth and comb. But at the end of the day, your decisions must be guided by a simple notion that Alaska is a resource-producing state. Our business is resource development. I, as a citizen of this country and as a resident of this state, want to make sure that our elected officials enable the golden goose, our resource development industry, to continue to lay the golden eggs for the foreseeable future. Hopefully, this will give our state an opportunity to collectively invest our creative energy into diversifying our economy to a point where someday Alaska could be in an enviable position of making educated choices about which industries we want to attract or repel. Today, we're not in that position. During this session, please make decisions that are suited for economic realities of today, not realities of yesterday or tomorrow. Thank you for the opportunity to testify and participate in this democratic process. I am a first-generation immigrant, and I appreciate it very much.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us today. Next is Larry Honley, or Honnell.
Good afternoon, Senator Myers and Senate Finance Committee. My name is Larry Howell. I live in Anchorage. I've been an Alaska resident for 44 years. I'm here today to express my support for meaningful oil production tax reform. I sincerely appreciate this opportunity to address what I consider the single most important issue to the state's economic future and well-being, and that is stemming the tide of decline of Alaska North Slope production. In the mid-1960s, my father moved his young family to the seat of Kenai. As a young teenager, I lived and attended school and worked in Alaska prior to TAPS, otherwise prior to the construction pipeline boom. Jobs were not plentiful and the economy was not a robust economy. The first in my family to have attended college, I most certainly attribute the ability to pay for my undergraduate education to taking a leave of absence from school and going to work as an apprentice welder. I spent over 60 weeks in a pipe gang north of the Brooks Range in 1976 and 77. So, like many other Alaskans, I have benefited tremendously from 35 years of Alaska North Slope production. In 2005, my wife and I again left Alaska to attend graduate school in construction management. My objective was to return to Alaska and work on the Alaska Gas Line project. Well, we know now that's not happening. In 2007, the ink hardly dry on my diploma, I received calls from the oil industry and was offered offers of employment. I hired on with an Alaskan-based oil field services company and moved to Calgary, Alberta. The charge was to establish that company's Canadian presence. While in Alberta from 2005 to 2010, two significant events occurred that I am sure you are well aware of. One, the price of oil dropped. Two, the provincial government of Alberta adopted a tax regime that has been compared to the current Alaska ACES production tax. In 2008, having a private dinner with a CEO from Talisman Energy, he suggested that I was out of my mind in an attempt to do a startup company in that current Alberta climate. That CEO informed me that that day or that week he had cut $2 billion from his budget. Within 30 to 90 days of that conversation in Calgary, the papers cited that the $50 billion Canadian oil play spend was cut by over 40%. That's $20 billion in cuts in the three provinces of British Columbia, Alberta, and Saskatchewan. There were two reasons for that cut. Certainly the decline of oil prices, but most also the ACES-like severance tax that was placed in these three provinces. Today, oil prices are back to sustainable levels. Most importantly, Alberta, British Columbia, and Saskatchewan have all modified their tax regimes. To this day, they continue to be the only have, as opposed to have-not provinces in Canada. Canadians recognized then and recognize now that the very urgent need to be competitive in order to stem production decline was the need to be competitive in order to stem a production climb and encourage investment. Alaskans need to do the same, and Governor Parnell's Senate Bill 21 is a giant step in the right direction. Isn't it nice to finally have a governor that gets it? While I'm not working on that pipeline project I wanted to work on, I am working in Alaska's private sector. And I will tell you unequivocally, the business community is extremely fearful of continued TAPS throughput decline. In my reading of the committee substitute, it may not go far enough in making Alaska competitive. Ask yourselves, why has capital investment exploded around North America, but not in Alaska? Energy companies are the largest global enterprises on the planet. They can move capital investment overnight, just like they did in Canada in 2008. They don't care where the energy gets sold. And at the end of the day, the barrel that brings the highest margin of profit is the barrel sold. I'm going to state that the average government take is not good enough. After all, this is one of the most expensive and adverse environments in the world to explore and to produce oil. I urge this most distinguished committee to listen to consultants, to observe other oil province tax structures, to create an energy investment climate where future Alaskans can prosper and benefit, just like I did and so many others during the 70s. Thank you very much for this time.
Great. Thank you, Larry. And I apologize for messing up your last name. We had a typo here on the sign-up sheet. So, Larry Howell, thank you very much. Okay, Sandra Udelhoven.
Hello, Senator Myers and the Finance Committee. I appreciate your time. My family moved up here in 1968 to 69. We spent a year going back and forth on the lovely Elkan and made our final move in November of 1969. My parents moved up here initially with five kids and then later we had seven. I was privileged to grow up in Kisilov, Alaska and spend most of my growing up years on Testamina Lake, wandering the great environment of Alaska and being able to see how beautiful it is. And it was hinged on that fact my father had a job. We had a lot of lean times and ate a lot of beans and rice. And then in the 70s, I saw a lot of people leave And it was because the late 60s and early 70s, the pipeline was like a stop, a start. Is it going to go? Is it not going to go? And finally, it happened to go through. And our economy was enormously improved. And then I had the privilege of staying here as a young adult and raising my children. And I left for 8.5 years to take my daughter to Memphis for medical reasons, because Alaska at the time didn't have what we needed here. They do now. And I came back in 2010, and I don't want to ever leave again. But the economy is rough. And I couldn't believe when I was out that ACEs got passed. I was so disappointed as a citizen of a state that we are so rich in resources, and yet we're going to tax the people who need to work here, the companies that need to come here, and make it happen. Right now we have a mass exodus of citizens of Alaska, residents of Alaska, because they cannot get a job that will sustain their families, because we are not producing oil. We are not doing exploration. I remember in 1980 when I graduated from Kenai High School, we were told ANWR. Well, that was the federal government shutting us down. ANWR still not produced. Don't let Alaska Senate Finance Committee be the one to shut us down. We need to go forward. I am supportive of the governor's Senate Bill 21. I would like to see my kids and grandkids be able to work in the state of Alaska, be able to have the freedom to not have to pinch pennies all the time. And I would like to see new businesses here. I don't see that happening right now. This is not a business-friendly environment. We need to bring back businesses. We need to be able to allow the businesses that are currently here to be able to grow. I work for Udelhoven Oilfield as a purchasing and logistics agent. We currently have over 800 employees. We try to support Alaska higher, but we are, you know, seeing people move to North Dakota, Texas, overseas. We've lost some of our best people because they cannot find a job here. You know, Kaparik's on hold. So I'm asking you, please pass Senate Bill 21. I support Governor Parnell with this bill, and I really hope that you listen not only from a business perspective that I work in a private sector, but from the heart of a mother who would like to see her children and grandchildren be able to live in Alaska in the future. Thank you for your time. I really appreciate your consideration to pass Senate Bill 21.
All right. Thank you, Sandra. And let's go to Jeannie St. John now, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Jeannie St. John, and I have delivered testimony throughout the years. It's no secret I work for Linden, and I'm a member of a long, long, long list of supportive business development organizations. But today, I thought I'd just come in here and testify on my own behalf. What I don't do is envy any of you. Oil tax policies have been and will be one of the most challenging issues any governor or legislature has to resolve. The problem is, no matter how much you study it or how many consultants you hear from, the decision ultimately rests with you. And the decision is never just quite right. For your efforts and dedication to resolving this, I really do want to say a personal thank you to each of you. It will come as no surprise that I support Senate Bill 21, and I'm encouraged by the hard work that the Senate has undertaken on this bill. I appreciate the recognition that ACEs is absolutely broken and the decline of oil production is a serious risk to our future. I won't testify on the various components that make up the tax or what is the right mix of severance tax and credits, but here is what I do support. A tax that is simple as possible, and I have to admit I tried to follow this afternoon, and gosh, if you guys can produce a oil tax for dummies, I'd be all about that. A tax that is consistent through the ups and downs of oil prices, which we all know that we will never, ever control. A tax that places Alaska in a competitive position, and watching PFC's testimony this afternoon, you know, that just really looked very appropriate to me. It looks like you guys have spent a lot of time and effort on that, and that just looked like a real good place to be, so I applaud you on getting to that point. And then fourth and final, tax credits that are sufficient to attract the investment from the explorers and producers. And I know that that's very, very complex. The issue of GRE, everything that you guys have to go through is very tough, but I really applaud your efforts and discussion on that. However, I urge you please to make a decision. This session, put the tax in place and move forward. There's been lots of studying, lots of great testimony. And just knowing perfection is not achievable, but stability and fairness are. And you guys really have found the right track. And I do believe that your committee has moved the needle in the right direction. So thank you all very much for your efforts, and thank you for letting me testify today. I'm also submitting, I have a written copy of this I'll submit, and two other friends who, it's beautiful and sunny here today, they're out skiing in Alyeska, so they asked me to deliver their testimony as well. So I'll leave that with Peter. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Jeannie. If you could send us your testimony, that's very important, and others who may be online and know others who wanted to testify and couldn't for some reason. We do read all the email that comes into us. So, okay, let's leave Anchorage for the time being and go to let's go to Fairbanks. It's a nice place, don't you think, Senator Bishop? Okay.
Yep.
All right. Let's see, who we got? Who do we have in Fairbanks here? It looks like we have a Roger Burkhoff.
Burgraff.
Okay, thank you. Roger, you online, sir?
I'm Roger Burgraff. I reside at 830 Sheep Creek Road, Fairbanks, Alaska. I thank you for the opportunity to present my testimony. I am in support of Senate Bill 21 with certain modifications. Alaska is almost entirely dependent on oil reserve revenues to cover the costs of government and the needed capital improvements. That must be made if we are going to survive as a state. Failure to increase oil production in the state will destroy the economic viability of our economy, its villages, towns, cities, and the opportunity of Alaska's people, both in government and in private industry, to provide for their families. The legislature in the past has failed to address this problem, ignoring the signs of reduced oil production. It reminds me of the proverbial ostrich that sticks his head in the sand and tries to ignore what's going on around him. I am no expert on oil and gas taxation, but I know something must be done to get the oil companies to continue to invest in Alaska and locate more oil for production. God knows we have enough oil in Alaska. There are those that feel that oil is bad and don't want to see more production. I don't want to see those interests prevail again this year. We need oil tax reform to energize and to encourage investment in Alaska by the oil companies. That means meaningful oil tax reform. Alaska, if it is to grow and develop, must build out its infrastructure to gain access to our resources and produce electrical energy to allow Alaskans to live in Alaska and industries to provide jobs to its people. Let us come up with a plan that will allow Alaska to survive in the 21st century. ACES is not doing the job. It appears if Alaska had a plan in place during the past, it would help our situation. Killing the goose that lays the golden egg is not the way to go ahead and get meaningful change. It's going to help our economy. Thank you.
All right, Roger. Thank you very much for your testimony. We'll stay in Fairbanks. Gary Atwood.
Hello.
Well, I haven't got it written down here, so I'll just have to do it spontaneously here. My name's Gary Atwood. I've been hanging around the interior for about 60 years now, and been a teamster for about 58 years, and was business manager for the teamster. Drove a truck for 20 years and business manager during the oil pipeline. I know what it takes and what it needs to build a pipeline. I think you're headed in the right direction to make this more environmentally welcome area for oil, mining, gas, exploration. The problem, I got four sons that are out of work right now. One's got business degrees, roamed around Anchorage talking to the oil companies. There's an indication the oil companies aren't ready to move ahead. In fact, some of them are cutting back in Alaska. He's run up against that. I got three other sons who worked on the oil pipeline. They can't find work. There's just not that much going. And I brought it up at a union meeting the other night that as much problems as we got with the right to work and so forth, which we don't like, one of our as big, if not bigger problems is the environmentalists, the tree huggers, Sierra Club, Greenpeace, and the rest of them, and we can help on that. But we need to get a receptive, reasonable tax law in here, such as Bill 21, to make these companies think they have a chance to do something and they've got a future in this state. And hopefully it'll pass, and but we can help them as long as they're willing to sign a project labor agreement, pay the people a living wage, which they did in the last pipeline. I'm sure they do it again, but we have to help them with the environmentalists because they're causing us a big, big problem. We want our people to go to work and earn a good enough living to put food on the table and pay their rent. And I thank you for the time to testify.
Great. Well, thank you very much for your testimony today, Gary. Let's stay in Fairbanks there. Looks like Terry Frost, or Frost, I'm sorry. I'm terrible with reading names. So.
Frost.
Okay. Terry?
Good afternoon, Senator Myers and Senate Finance Committee. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Terry Frost. I am a small business owner. I serve as the chair for the Greater Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors. The chamber represents over 700 businesses and organizations throughout the interior of Alaska. Our primary purpose is business advocacy, but our mission is to promote and ensure economic environment for Greater Fairbanks area so that we can remain an attractive place for both business and community. One of the chamber's top critical priorities this legislative session is to encourage increased oil production by encouraging legislature and administration to establish competitive investment opportunities through taxation, regulatory policies that will facilitate additional oil exploration, development, and increased production, therefore reversing the dramatic decline throughout and throughput of the pipeline. The need exists now to take steps necessary to ensure health and viability of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. We cannot continue to wait for a solution. The Chamber supports the government's four guiding principles for tax reform. It must be fair to Alaskans. It must encourage new production for all sources. It must be simple, and it must be durable for the long term to keep Alaskans competitive. I applaud the legislature at this time, all the time and work and dedication that has been put forward thus far this year. We encourage legislature to take the necessary steps this legislative session to make Alaska more competitive and to secure the future of TAPS. I appreciate the opportunity to comment here today and on behalf of the businesses and organizations that make up the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce. Thank you for your time.
Great. Thank you very much, Terry. Still in Fairbanks, let's go with Carl Gokey.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Again, my name is Carl Gokey. I work for Frontier Supply Company, and we are located headquarters in Fairbanks, and we have stores in Anchorage and in Guam. And we are members of the Alliance, the RDC, and the Alaska Miners Association. Here's an article that I would like to read in the Alaska Journal of Commerce this year. Petroleum tax changes introduced by Alaska legislators are stimulating fresh investment in Alaska's oil and gas sector. After several years brought about by tax uncertainty and consequent low investment, the Alaska Commonwealth is now benefiting from the record investment in new developments and in existing assets and infrastructure, the strongest seen in years. The recent introduction of new restructured oil taxes has promoted the development of a range of oil projects. Coupled with the state's groundbreaking commitment to provide certainty on economic tax structures that are fair to the Alaskans, encourages new production, restores balance to the system, and is durable for a long time, has promoted global companies and independent businesses to take another look at Alaska as an investment destination and has resulted in a new wave of investors. This is an article written this year about the United Kingdom for offshore development. It was titled, UK Set to Reverse Exploration Drilling Production Decline. Though I did wordsmith it a little, the point is still there for Alaska. The production decline is not because Alaska is running out of oil. It is in part due to Alaska no longer being competitive in attracting industry investment in production. High oil prices have expanded industry investment in production, but not here in Alaska. Alaska has dropped behind North Dakota in production and is at risk of falling behind California as well. Alaska has the oil, but policymakers hold the key to new production. We can keep the current policy that restricts investments, or we can change it to something that attracts investments in production while securing a long-term future for Alaskans. With policy reforms that move the needle on major investments, Alaska would get a healthy oil and gas industry that could extend decades. For businesses like Frontier Supply Company, new production would promote growth in the private sector economy, leading to more economic development, job creation, and long-term revenue stream for Alaska. There has always been an overriding case to maximize recovery of Alaska's oil and gas resources. It has never been more important or relevant that we do this now. Please achieve meaningful reform of oil production taxes to make Alaska a compelling place to invest and put us back in the lead of the world's oil and gas production. I applaud you for your progress on the Senate Bill 21 that you spoke of earlier today, and I hope you keep up the good work. Thank you for your time.
Great. Thank you, Carl. Thank you for calling in today. Still in Fairbanks, Tim Gunderson.
My name is Tim Gunderson. I live in North Pole. I've lived in Alaska here in the interior for over 40 years, and I've raised my children and my grandchildren, and we're expecting great-grandchildren shortly, and I want them all to have jobs. I've been involved in the oil industry in the form of moving goods and freight from Fairbanks to Prudhoe Bay since 1974. And I currently work for the Teamsters Training Center, passing on those things that I've learned there. One of the things that I've seen a lot of when I go to Prudhoe Bay is a lot of people that are not from Alaska. I actually see a lot of people who have come from Alaska or got their jobs while they were Alaskans and then moved everything outside and fly over the state. And I don't dislike any of them. Every person, individual I meet is a good and honorable person, but I want to see my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren have jobs here. What I'd like to see you do, I support the bill that you're working on, but what I would really like to see you change or apply in there is why can't we use a tax rate that says the more Alaskans you hire, the lower your tax rate? Higher percentage of Alaskans, lower percentage of tax, and that's really the thrust of what I have to say. We need to keep and find a way to keep Alaskans working and to keep them here. Thanks for listening to me.
All right. Well, thank you for your testimony today. And your Senator Bishop, has actually proposed more Alaska purchases, I guess it is. It's a difficult issue, but it's something that we all support here on the committee, and we'll do everything we can to make sure more Alaskans are hired, and the more procurement is done within the state. Thank you so much for your testimony today. I just have one or two more here in Fairbanks, and I'm going to come to Juneau, and then we're going to go to the mighty Matsu. So Carl Benson, are you still with us here in Fairbanks?
Mr. Carl Benson stepped out of the room for a moment. If the chair has an opportunity to come back to Fairbanks, we'd appreciate it.
Okay, we'll do that. Delbert Parr, is he with us in Fairbanks?
Yes.
Okay.
This is Delbert Parr. I live in Fairbanks. I work at Fort Knox Mine. I want to testify in support of SB 21, which I think is a step in the right direction for providing meaningful reform of the oil production taxes to make Alaska a good place to invest. Alaska has some of the highest costs and tax rates in the nation. Corporate capital is limited, and only the most profitable projects in a company's portfolio will get funded. Clearly, investors in the oil production are making their money or taking their money where they get their greatest return. We need new policy that encourages long-term planning and investment in new production in Alaska. Investment is the key to halting the steepening decline in oil production and putting more oil in the pipeline, which benefits all of Alaska. Thank you very much for this opportunity to testify.
Great. Thank you, Delbert, for joining us today. I do have one other person on my sheet, but it looks like it's going back to Anchorage. If he's available, we'll go ahead and catch Jerry Alwinona.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Jerry Alwinona at Anchorage, speaking for myself as a full-blood Eskimo Alaskan, living in Alaska all my life. And I'd just like to say thank you to the committee for hearing us, regular folks, and I'm sure it's going to be a long night, but we thank you for your service, and I'd just like to say I don't support the governor's efforts in Senate Bill 21 or even any of the rewrites. I believe we should not change ACES because ACES, since 2007, has not had one audit. There's not been one up or down impact on what ACES has been, what it's generated. I know it's generated windfall profits for our state as well as the industry. We've enjoyed an enormously successful relationship, and ACES by far has not caused any downturn in any of our businesses, any of our profit margins, any of our budgets. It has so far inflated our constitution, the budget reserve so far, to over $14 billion and has given us a $45 billion permanent fund. That's only 10% compared to Norway's $400-plus billion permanent fund. So we should not meddle with a successful program. A lot of folks think that North Dakota is getting our business. Well, if they like North Dakota so much, they should be ready to forfeit their PFD, pay their income tax, as well as a statewide sales tax. We have none of the taxes they deal with other than some of the local valley taxes, but that's basically nil. I thank the committee for hearing all Alaskans, and I hope we can remain profitable in a successful business relationship with the industry we had, but we should also diversify our budget income to more than one industry, such as gold, mining, tourism. Tourism is a really, really successful model for lowering some sort of cruise head tax, but that has nothing to do with our oil. So we should keep ACES. We should diversify our economy. We should focus on separate accounts.
right. Thank you very much for your testimony, Jerry. Did Carl come back to Fairbanks? Is Carl there? Carl Benson, Fairbanks?
Yes, he is.
Oh, okay. Carl, go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you. I'm Carl Benson. I reside here in Fairbanks. And I'm concerned that we are cutting in the state budget what seem to be small amounts compared to what we're talking about cutting in the taxes for the industry. For example, $3.5 million to the Fairbanks School District is 0.17% of the $2,000 million that has been earlier, at least, talked about giving to the oil industry in the form of reduced taxes. I don't see how we can cut these amounts, which are tiny percent of what we're talking about here, and at the same time want to give away money before we take care of the needs of the state. So I propose we take care of the needs of the state without cutting school districts, laying off teachers, and the other cuts are going to be made through the system that won't add up to anything like 1,000 or 2,000 million, which is what we're giving away. I'm saying it that way because 2 billion rolls off the tongue so easily, a lot of people confuse it with a million. Indeed, as you know, a billion is 1,000 million, and that's what we're proposing to give out. I think we should take care of our own needs before we even think about that. And our tax system, and I just saw the markup for today's thing, refers to our steep rates of tax, steep taxes. I don't think we have steep taxes. From what I understand, it's about average. And you can't really compare North Dakota because they don't own the oil like the state does here. They're just charging a production tax. It's a very different system. But the comparison with Norway that was just made is quite apt. And their permanent fund principle and then the earnings on it are much larger than ours because they haven't been given away a billion or so every year, which is kind of foolish when you think that we talk about it as a resource that is non-renewable and the permanent fund was set up to be a renewable fund based on originally a non-renewable resource. That's all I have to say, basically, just to recapitulate. Take care of the needs of the state and don't cut little pieces that hurt a lot to give away 1,000 times more. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you very much for your testimony, Carl. Okay, let's come back now to Juneau. We do have a few people here that have signed up. I'd like to start with Paul. Paul Barron, I believe it is.
That's correct.
Okay, Paul. If you could, please put your name on the record again.
My name is Paul Barron, 20-year Alaska resident, Juneau. Thank you to the Finance Committee for allowing me this chance to testify. I speak for the progressive tax and against the governor's oil tax proposal. The Alaska Constitutional Convention member, Vic Fisher, recently quoted the Alaska delegate to the U.S. Congress and first senator from our state, Bob Bartlett, cautioning that we do not allow ourselves to become captive to out-of-state companies. We need to heed that today. When ACES was enacted in 2007, the oil industry cried for stability and consistency. Today, when they try to get a much lower tax rate, that voice for consistency and stability is silent. Consider the facts. The McDowell Group in January 2012 reported that the North Slope oil and gas industry added more than 5,000 new jobs, 2000 to 2010, doubling employment. From 2007 to 11, North Slope oil spending increased, on average, $1.3 billion per year. Now, consider the record. Does big oil really care about the people of our state? The court mandated fine for the Exxon Valdez was $5 billion in 1989. They repeatedly litigated until they reduced it to about one-tenth, $507.5 million. And then they were reluctant to even pay the interest. By that time, many of those directly affected had died. Does big oil care about the people of Alaska? Today, ConocoPhillips advertises itself as Alaska's oil company. You know better than that. Alaska has no oil company. Words are sometimes cheap, but can we really trust what they say? For the past 5 years, the U.S. and world economies have been struggling with a deep recession. Yet, crude prices continue high. Think how those prices will soar as the economies continue to rebound. Please, do not remove our progressive tax. It may have to be adjusted, but keep a progressive tax. Do not replace it with a flat one. The oil belongs to the state and its people. Keep a progressive tax.
All right, thank you for joining us today, Paul. Thank you for your testimony. All right, Barbara Huff.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Barbara Huff-Technis. I'm Director of Governmental and Legislative Affairs for Teamsters Local 959. We represent working Alaskans that are and continue to be very, very concerned about the rapid decline of the slope, North Slope oil production. While we've not had a chance to really digest the CS, to digest the CS that was just introduced here a couple hours ago, nor the economic impact, which I guess will be presented tomorrow morning, we would like to at least go on record, like many Alaskans, that we are and we continue to be concerned about the decline in the production. We want to see more Alaskans hired. I think while there may be numbers out there that are showing increase, we are encouraging you as committee members as you go through your due diligence on this legislation to hopefully put that as a number one on your list as well. We think it is a valuable asset as you continue to look at the redesign of the oil and or gas tax for the state of Alaska, that Alaskans be a first consideration for those jobs that are and we believe will be grown in the future as the oil industry is encouraged to make more production here. In closing, I'd just like to add that Alaska does have a product that is in great demand. However, so do other states and other countries around the world. Does it make sense for us to charge more only to sell less? A reduction in Alaska's oil tax structure that results in only an increase, hopefully, of at least 2 to 3 times the current production level would result in more revenue for the state. Not only more revenue for the state, but also additional jobs out there for Alaskans and our Alaskan families out there. We also see that as a positive impact on our state budget and in looking at municipal revenue sharing. school district funding. I mean, we've got some huge issues out there. From the Teamsters' perspective, the oil gas tax is a number one, public school system funding as a number two. And from our perspective, and I'll go on record, and I'm kind of getting a little off track here, but the cost of health care. And how you attempt to prioritize those, we do see a direct impact with ultimately the decisions that you end up making. Your decision with respect to Senate Bill 21 is huge. This is not an easy decision, we're sure, for everybody. And I think there has been a lot of good information presented. The consultants, I hope, continue to work with each of you as you continue to do your due diligence on this. And I will, in closing my testimony, again, ask that you please consider Alaskans for Alaskans Higher as you continue to choose and make all those best right decisions with respect to the oil and gas tax. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Barbara. Okay, let's see. Bill Corbus has been here for a while. Let's go ahead and take Bill, and then we'll go to the mighty Matt Sue. Bill, welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Bill Corbus. I reside at 5810 Fane Road, Juneau. I am a member of the Make Alaska Competitive Coalition, have been since its inception. And in my prior life, I served as Commissioner of Revenue from 2003 to 2006 in the Murkowski administration. I participated in the decision to aggregate ELF in the formulation of the PP tax, and then watched with dismay as the legislature passed ACES. I support the governor's bill, Senate Bill 21, as modified by the Resources Committee, and if I understand the proposed modifications your committee is looking at, I think that's good also. I support this bill because it will remove the progressive provision for high-priced oil because of the gross revenue exclusion, modifying the credit system so that it will result in credits being granted when oil is produced, and to encourage new oil in the legacy fields where most of the known oil reserves are located. This legislation is needed to increase investment by the petroleum industry in order to stem the declining oil production. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to appear before you today.
Thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate your testimony. Okay, let's go to the mighty Metsu, Crystal Nygaard.
Good afternoon, Senate Finance Committee, and I thank you for your hard work down there in Juneau, setting one thing, a really good mood down there of businesses wanting to share our opinion. I'm speaking in support of SB 21 and the increased production. I'm a small business owner. I'm one of the co-founders of the Matsu Business Alliance. I'm a coach, and the most important job I have is a mom. I am raising three teenage boys right now, so you can see the gray hair as I speak. But really, how that applies to this conversation is we're currently talking with our boys about college, and there are several colleges outside that are trying to recruit them for their engineering departments and their welding and business departments. And as a parent, we want our kids to go to a college where they're going into a state where there's a thriving economy, where there's a long-term employment opportunities, where they can get the good education and the job. And places like Texas and Montana and Utah, Wyoming, North Dakota, you know, they're reaching out to our kids, not just our employees, they're reaching out to our kids. And they're also painting a picture of opportunities for jobs. So I would just like the committee to ask themselves, what does Alaska's economy look like in 5, 10, or 15 years old, or from the perspective of a 17-year-old? Does it look like one where we have oil and gas operations going on? We've got oil rigs, we got resource development and mining, and we have energy options producing? Or are we going to have a brochure with a bunch of government jobs, a little bit of tourism, lots of parks? What would the brochure of our future generation think about our state? Leadership is so critical here, and for you to be a strong is what we are really counting on. We need a long-term investment in this state. It is a must. Sure, we may have to forego some revenue today, cut expenses, but then we'd be open for business. But more importantly, now is the time to invest in this next generation, developing policies today that will eventually and immediately create jobs, increase the opportunities for family wage jobs, and demonstrate our government is a good partner in economic development. I urge you on this committee to listen to the market and to the next generation. Do it for them. And I thank you for listening.
All right, Crystal, thank you for your testimony. Still in the Metsu is Marvin Yoder.
Good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity to testify today, and thank you for the hard work this committee put in on this bill. I'm speaking in favor of it. I'm also speaking on behalf of Mat-Su Business Alliance. I'm a part of that group. I sometimes have to go back to George Orwell's book, 1984, where he talked about newspeak, and when I hear people in the media and so on saying that we're giving away money, I have to pause, because if I tax somebody $5 and then later on change it to $4, I don't know that I've given them anything. And so that's kind of the first part of it. The second part of this is that we are really concerned about growing private business in the Mat-Su. That's part of our goal. And the one thing that I think is a rule of government is that if you want to give the government more money, you grow government, and if you give the government less money, you grow private business. And so our testimony is that we want to see private business grow, and we think that passing this as a more fair way to get more private business into Alaska is a good thing to do. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much for your testimony. Okay, let's see. Let's go somewhere we haven't gone. Bethel. Is David Trantham there?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman.
Good afternoon.
My name is David Trantham. I represent myself and 5 generations of Alaskans. I appreciate very much the hard work of the committee. I thank you. I also thank you for hearing from all Alaskans. I do not think Senate Bill 21 is fair to all Alaskans. It's more than fair to some Alaskans, but not all. ACES has helped the state government to build a $19 billion savings account. All revenue from oil has helped build the permanent fund, which is, the last I heard, about $45 billion. Everybody knows this. The oil companies know this. The people of Alaska know this. ACES has worked for me and my 5 generations. I think it will work for my family in the future. ACES needs some minor changes. And I believe the small wildcatters, the independents, will help us and maybe the native corporations can help us put more oil into the pipeline. It's getting smaller flow, slower flow, cooler flow every year. I understand that. I do not fully support Senate Bill 21. I believe it needs further adjustments. Adjustments were made in the finance, in the Resources Committee. That was good. Further adjustments are needed. Please, all of you, take your time. Hear from as many Alaskans as you can. Do not rush to judgment. Whatever your call is, we will all have to live with. And lastly, whatever your call is, in the end, be accountable for that call. If it's good, if it's not so good, still be accountable. That's all we can ask from you. Take your time, do it right the first time. And I thank you very, very kindly for hearing from all Alaskans on this issue. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, David. And thank you for joining us all the way from Bethel. Okay, let's go to Kenai. Troy McAllister.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. My name is Troy McAllister. I live in Kenai, Alaska. I would like to extend my sincere thanks to the Senate Committee for taking time to hear my input and concerns regarding Senate Bill 21. In short, I support the governor's proposed tax reform. Briefly, I offer eight reasons why. TAPS flow is at an all-time low. We need more production to support higher flows in the TAPS yesterday. Today is still too late, but it will be much better than tomorrow, or next week, or next month, or next year. North Slope oil production has declined almost 70% since its peak of 2.1 million barrels per day in 1988, accounting for more than 20% of U.S. domestic oil production. Now production is around 581,000 barrels per day, accounting for only approximately 11% of the nation's domestic production. We cannot allow ourselves to be distracted by the seemingly encouraging outlook for the 2013 exploration season. The harsh truth is that we are 5 to 7 years away from bringing in new fields to production based on past history. Alaska must focus on getting investment into existing fields so production can come online in a shorter time frame as part of an overall development strategy. Alaska has great energy resources, but has one of the highest petroleum tax structures in the U.S. We have already lost many qualified craftsmen, professionals, and valuable equipment to outside where the tax climate is much more friendly to energy development. The company I work for, an Alaskan company established over 43 years ago, recently and reluctantly started pursuit of operations in Texas and North Dakota in order to continue to survive. Alaska must demonstrate to investors that Alaska is willing and ready to work cooperatively with business and industry to create a more robust investment climate as deployment of new and expensive technologies will be required to recover and fully develop significant portions of the remaining state resources. There is no disagreement among oil and gas companies, including new explorers in Alaska, that a production tax change is necessary to attract the necessary investment capital to bring successful exploration wells to development and production. They are the ones with the skin in the game. One-third of Alaska's economy is based on petroleum exploration, development, and production, generating 110,000 jobs annually. Alaska needs jobs now. Production from both the North Slope and Cook Inlet has almost completely supported Alaska's economy since statehood. Revenues generated by the production of oil continue to account for 92% of the state's unrestricted revenue in fiscal year 2011. TAPS has safely transported North Slope oil for 35 years. Lower volumes of flow result in longer transit time to Valdez and colder oil, as well as many operational complications, including problematic wax buildup, which increases transportation costs and lower returns to all Alaskans. Much of the state's transportation network is dependent on the North Slope crude refined in-state, which benefits the Alaska Railroad, trucking, and aircraft refueling. In closing, I strongly urge this committee, as well as the Alaska legislature, to act now and in a way that supports, as I do, the governor's proposal for oil tax reform. Thank you for your kind consideration on this important issue.
Great. Thank you, Troy. And I thank everybody out there for keeping your testimony to 3 minutes. That really helps. Okay, we haven't been to Homer yet, so let's go to Homer. And let's see, we have Monty Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Monty Davis. I am a resident of Homer and I've been a resident of Alaska for over 40 years. I worked on the Trans-Alaska Pipeline from long before they ever laid pipe right up to the very end, wrapping it with insulation. And I only bring that up because I wonder sometimes, I hear so many of these arguments of people, so many people in Alaska these days just don't seem to have a clue of what this state was like before we had the oil money. I sit here in Homer and look at a $50 million high school and recognize that there's no way that local taxes could have ever built such a thing. Anyway, I wanted to let you know I am here today to testify in favor of the governor's bill, and specifically I've had a chance to just kind of go over the executive summary of the finance committee's version of it, and I just think it's absolutely perfect. I don't mean to say that. There's probably still some tweaks that you need to make for it, but I think it does what the governor asked in that it's fair to Alaskans. It will encourage new production. It does seem as simple as you can possibly make it, although we all know how difficult, well, actually, I don't know. I can't even imagine how difficult it must be to figure out how these taxes will work, but it is at least relatively simple, and it does certainly get rid of the progressivity, which is just amazing to me how we could have ever done that. I would like to see what would happen if we tried to tax commercial fish in that way. As the price of halibut went up, the state took more money. Anyone, I think, who truly understands the economics of Alaska knows that if the pipeline dries up, we dry up, at least the Alaska that we know now. We go back to being very much like a third-world country. I try to explain to folks all the time that Alaska's economy is not just a one-legged stool. It's actually a very tall one-legged stool and therefore even easier to topple. Tax policy has proven to have an effect on the oil and gas industry. I believe we are looking at the direct effects of tax policy in the declining barrels through TAPS. I really don't care what people say about how much of a profit the oil companies are making. In my opinion, they're looking at the wrong numbers. The number that we should be looking at is how many barrels of oil are flowing through that pipeline, and they are declining, and they're declining to the point where it's getting scary. That's where we make our money. And as some of those folks from Matsu were saying, let's incentivize businesses. Let's let them know that Alaska is open for business. And please, I just ask you, get something done this session now today. I know how hard it must be to be leaders, to have to look people in the eye and say, we're going to have to cut back here, we're going to have to cut back there. But we need it desperately if we're going to have any kind of an economy in 15 or 20 years. If we were all going to look short term, I would say leave TAPS alone. It'll be great for the next 5 to 7 years. But truth of the matter is, I would like my grandkids to live here as well. I want to thank you all for your service to our state.
All right. Thank you very much, Monty. Okay, let's go back to Anchorage. Kelly Walters.
Senator Meyer, members of the Finance Committee, thank you for allowing me to testify here today and the important work that you're doing. My name is Kelly Walters, and I'm testifying on behalf of myself. First off, I recognize that while my day-to-day job isn't involved in the oil business, as an Alaskan, we're all in the oil business. It's just that some of us have checks cut directly to us from Exxon, BP, ConocoPhillips, and VECO. CH2M Hill. I want to say this. Crafting and then voting on legislation that will benefit your industry by billions of dollars and your specific employer by hundreds of millions of dollars annually is an unprecedented, unambiguous, and massive conflict of interest. Senators Meyer and Michiki are conflicted. There isn't another senator or representative that can legislatively throw their employer a bone worth several hundred million annually. Unfortunately, voting and crafting conflicted legislation is legal, but it doesn't make it right, ethical, or moral. And I've said this before on previous testimony, I've got to say it again. Slavery was also once legal. So I urge the conflicted senators to step up the ethics game and recuse yourself from crafting and voting on oil tax legislation. Regarding Senator Senate 21, Governor Parnell's bill, I strongly object to it. The governor and the pro-giveaway legislators have created the very uncertainty that the oil companies have complained about in the past. If you look for a suit at Nordstrom's and it sells for $1,000, and the salesman tells you that it's going to be half price in a few months, you wait. And so are our big three producer partners when it comes to filling the pipeline. They're waiting. Any new tax reform should not break the bank. Keep bases intact with modifications to create new production. This isn't rocket science. Any oil tax reduction must be tied to new production, period. That's how we can solve this thing. Keep progressivity. Because Alaska is an owner state and we're the only state that has that distinction, we deserve to reap the benefits at high prices along with our producer partners. And taking in the testimony earlier tonight, I've concluded advertising works really well even when it's a lie. The Make Alaska Competitive Coalition and AOGA have said repeatedly in ads that cost probably millions of dollars over the years, they've continued to say that Alaska has the highest oil taxes in North America. That is patently false. At $100 per barrel, Mexico, which is in North America, by the way, has a 94% tax. Louisiana has an 86% total government take. Gulf of Mexico offshore has a 79% total government take. Texas has a 76% gross total take from barrel one. And right behind Texas at $100 a barrel, we're at 76% net profits tax. That's the fifth highest, not the highest. And as far as sovereigns go, we're right in the middle of the pack there. When oil companies come to Norway, the people that went over there asked that question, and the Norwegians said, yeah, they asked for oil tax breaks. We just don't give it to them. They got a 78% tax from barrel one, and their business is booming. And, by the way, Texas is having a boom right now, and their tax is higher than ours. As for Alaska, ConocoPhillips made between 5 and 10 times more profit per barrel this last year than they did in the lower 48. ConocoPhillips has told their investors in the past, as have the other oil producers, that Alaska is a cash cow. Prior to ACES, 15 of 19 North Slope fields had a 0% tax, and yet production still declined. Under ACES, we have 3 consecutive years of record North Slope employment. It's good for business, companies are hiring, and that's not just for maintenance, that's the capital expenditures. Prior to ACES, 19 companies filed North Slope tax returns. Last year in 2012, 69 companies filed North Slope tax returns. Something is going on up there. ACES is working, apparently, just not for the big three. It's because of this uncertainty that's been created these last legislative sessions. And I heard an earlier testifier representing the Chamber of Commerce. Apparently, they didn't pay any attention to the great debate that Senator Walkowski had with Chamber President Andrew Halko. I attended that debate. Mr. Halko did not dispute a single fact Senator Walkowski cited. In summation, Alaskans are opposed to this billion-dollar giveaway. If you change ACES and we have no long-term production, no new long-term production, and the state goes into the red, please understand this. There isn't any going back. I attended a constituent meeting that Senator Meyer had with Cerise Millett, Representative Millett, and Cerise Millett commented to me that if there's a problem and this doesn't work out, oh, we'll just change it in a few years. And I just have to say this. ACES passed due to 10% of our legislators being indicted by the FBI for their involvement with the CBC.
Okay, Kelly,
at the time, Governor Palin campaigned on an anti-corruption platform.
Hey,
Senate President Lyda Green, who opposed ACES, allowed it to come to a floor for a vote, and it passed.
Okay, Kelly,
the stars will never align like that again. Please be careful with this bill. Please understand that this is final, and there is no change in it. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Kelly. Okay, please keep the testimony to 3 minutes. It just really helps assure that everybody has an opportunity to testify. Okay, let's go. Let's stay in Anchorage. Michael Jesperson. Michael.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Senators. I've been coming to this committee and other committees for about 3 years now talking about oil tax reform. I wanted you to note a couple of things. One, I do not work for an oil company or oil field services company. I'm in no way related to the resource business. Second, I generally have to take unpaid time off, like when I left an hour early today so I could get in line to testify. I support SB 21 with the committee changes. It's not perfect. I don't expect it to be. I wish it was, but reality is we'll never get there. I want this to pass, and I want the oil companies to start spending money again. Next year, my oldest son will graduate from high school, and a few months later, when he starts college, my youngest will start kindergarten. At the current rate of decline in TAPS, both of them will get jobs outside the state, and my wife and I will either have to move to see them and our future grandchildren or pay thousands of dollars for one-way airplane tickets. I'd rather not do that. Let's change the economy now and allow them to stay here. I disagree with people that say this economy is great. I'm a salesman. I can tell you I made less money in 2012 than I did in 2008. Salespeople work off bonuses and commissions. It means we're selling less money, less product. Pass this bill. The time for study is over. You've had over 3 years, and it still isn't done. The definition of an expert seems to be somebody from outside the state of Alaska. It's not true. They're not experts. The people that are experts are here, and we need to pass this now, reduce the taxes. I'd like to see a simpler tax. I'd like to see a lower tax, but what you've done is far better than ACES. I thank you for what you've done and ask you, please move this out of committee, take it to the floor, let's get it done so I don't have to spend next session back here saying the same thing over and over again. Thank you for your time, Senators.
Great. Thank you for your testimony, Michael. Rachel Petro.
Good afternoon, Chairman Meyer and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Rachel Petro, and I'm the President and CEO of the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce. The Alaska Chamber is a statewide pro-business, pro-Alaska organization made up of businesses of all sizes across Alaska. Each fall, the Alaska Chamber members gather during our legislative policy forum to decide our priorities for the upcoming legislative session. And this year, for the third year running, our members selected reforming oil tax policy to encourage new production as its top legislative priority. So this is not just the third time this year that I've testified. I've been testifying on behalf of the Alaska Chambers for the past several years. I'd additionally like to remind this committee that 13 local chambers, one of which you've heard from already today, have resolutions supporting meaningful oil tax reform. While each of these local chambers are each members of the Alaska Chamber, these local chambers of commerce represent thousands more additional businesses and Alaskans gravely concerned about Alaska's economic future. The local chambers supporting meaningful oil tax reform include the Anchorage, Bethel, Chugach, Eagle River, Fairbanks, Haines, Juneau, Kenai, Ketchikan, Kodiak, Palmer, Seward, and Sitka Chambers of Commerce. Over the past 2 years, this body's received literally thousands of comments from Alaskans voicing their support of making Alaska competitive and securing its economic future. Today, on behalf of Alaska Chamber members and the local chambers I just mentioned, and really all Alaskans who understand the import of this issue, thank you for prioritizing oil tax reform this session. I am increasingly encouraged, and we are increasingly encouraged, that Alaska will soon be competitive in the oil and gas market. The Alaska Chamber does support the guiding principles the governor outlined for an oil tax bill, and we believe that Senate Bill 21 and the changes in this committee substitute are an excellent start at reaching those goals. So thank you again for your diligent work on SB 21. We look forward to working with you to achieve meaningful reform this session. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Rachel. Gary Dixon.
Thank you. My name is Gary Dixon. I'm the Vice President of Teamsters Local 959. I represent working Alaskans who are concerned about the future of our great state. We, like many Alaskans, want to see more production and more oil in the TAPS pipeline. We want more Alaskans hired on the slope, and there needs to be some stability in our current tax system. The tax structure now is not growing our future. I urge you to consider Governor Parnell's plan through SB 21. Any plan for oil tax reform should include more production, more oil going through the TAPS pipeline, and more Alaskans hired in the industry's jobs. The bill should be fair to all Alaskans and encourage new production. It must be simple and restore balance to the system, durable to ensure opportunities for future generations, and must promote and include commitment to all to Alaskan hire for all Alaskans. Thank you for taking the time to allow me the opportunity to speak on this urgent matter.
Great. Thank you, Gary. Sonia Fenero.
Hello. My name is Sonia Fenero, and I'm here representing myself. I want to thank the committee for this opportunity to testify. I work in project performance management employed by an oil services company in Anchorage. I was born and raised in Juneau, Alaska. I was very active in student government and community service activities at Juneau Douglas High School, and I left the state to attend Wellesley College in Massachusetts. From a single-parent home, I worked 20 to 30 hours a week to pay for my clothes and school supplies. I worked hard at fundraising activities so that I could participate in the same college prep activities as many of the other kids, including attending the COSAP program in Washington, D.C. Every year, I look forward to receiving the permanent fund dividend to help achieve my personal educational goals. Oil production generates the royalties that are then directly deposited into the permanent fund. I am concerned with the current trends of decline in oil production that the PFD will start to disappear. Almost 3 years ago, I started a job on the North Slope and was able to be part of an exciting construction project that included new production, engineering, fabrication, and construction. That was 2010. That job ended, and unfortunately, many of the people working on that project had to go out of state to find jobs. There simply isn't the same opportunity for oil and gas jobs in the state right now. I see this as a great problem, considering that so many of our industries depend on the stability of oil and gas production. I love my state, and I plan to live here for the rest of my life. I want my children to have the same benefits and financial security that I was blessed with growing up here. It is important for me to know that there will be a stable and strong economy for years to come. For this reason, I am in support of any legislation that encourages increased oil production in a declining industry. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Sonia. Deantha Crockett.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Off the record, my name is Deantha Crockett. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Miners Association. It's a statewide association representing the mines in Alaska, both the large mines, the seven open operating large mines that we've got, advanced exploration projects, as well as about 1,100 individual placer miners. So we are the umbrella association for the mining industry in Alaska. I've had a lot of people ask, why would a mining association support changes to our oil tax structure? Why would we support oil tax legislation? And the reason really is because a healthy oil and gas industry is healthy for my industry as well. I think that the continued decline's effect on the state's economy scares myself and my members, and a lot of my members know Alaska without a pipeline, and they're pretty worried about what Alaska would be like without a healthy oil and gas industry. AMA believes we need tax changes because we know that Alaska is a more expensive and difficult place to operate. It's true for our industry, and it's true for oil and gas. We know that we should probably change what we do have control of, the amount of tax production, to incentivize more of it here. We do support the governor's four guiding principles, which you have outlined in front of you, and we hope you'll keep them in mind and consider everything possible to make the best legislation for Alaska and ensure that oil production is increased. Thank you very much. I know you guys have given a lot of opportunities for the public to provide input, and I really appreciate that, and you've given me the chance to testify on behalf of the AMA today.
Great. Thank you, Deantha. Okay, next there at Anchorage is Al Kramer.
Afternoon, Chairman Myers and members of the committee. I'm Al Kramer from Anchorage, and I'm here to express my support for Senate Bill 21. With the continuing decline in Alaskan oil production, it's crucial that oil taxes and regulations be made fairer and simpler to encourage exploration and production. I'm going to be very brief. That's it. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, and thank you very much for your hard work in this matter.
Great. Thank you, Al. Let's see. Also in Anchorage is Tom Lokesh.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, for this opportunity to testify. I might posit that SB 21 is unconstitutional because it fails to provide for the maximum benefit of the Alaskans for the use of their resources as mandated in our Constitution. The committee and sponsors must first verify that, in fact, this will result in the maximum benefit for the people of Alaska over the long term. We must recognize that cost competitiveness in the oil industry does not translate to maximum revenue or utility of and use of their natural resources. We must recognize that oil resources and other hydrocarbon resources in Alaska are a finite resource that we must apportion over the long term, and we must look past the end of the century for production of petroleum products that we will need to use here in Alaska. We must try and maintain production over the long term so we don't end up having to import petroleum products for use in Alaska. We will inevitably cross the point where production is less than the amount of oil products we use in Alaska, and we must see that we maintain the maximum revenue over the long term. No committee to date nor the sponsors have produced this long-term analysis to determine what the total present value revenue from different schemes will produce over the long term through the end of the century. We must recognize that none of the sponsors who are proposing a boom and bust economy here can actually back up their assertions that this will increase production, and certainly are not guaranteeing increased revenues, and certainly cannot guarantee increased revenues or total net revenue over the long term. This committee has the responsibility to ensure that we obtain the maximum benefit, and to date there has been no analysis to show that we will either get long-term a net gain in revenue with a finite resource that we have here. We cannot keep on promoting a boom and bust economy when we must look to the long term for not only revenue, but a source of petrochemicals for use in Alaska. Thank you very much for this opportunity to testify, and I hope that the committee will not continue its dereliction and duty to provide this long-term analysis. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Okay. Still in Anchorage, John Lau.
My name is John Lau, and I'd like to thank you for the ability to address the Senate Finance Committee. I do support SB 21. I share the concern that continued decline of North Slope oil production will have serious consequences on the economy of our state and the welfare of its citizens. When one looks at the production decline from a limited existing resource such as the North Slope, we're at immediate odds with the word sustainability. Science and engineering show it is not possible to lessen the decline slope without significant and consistent infusion of capital. As an Alaskan, I do look at the decline curve for the North Slope. The numbers show in black and white. We lose approximately one-half the annual production every 10 years. Unless significant effort is made to slow the decline, the prosperity experienced by Alaskans is sure to change. In deciding what to do with the resource we are blessed with and its associated revenue stream, please look at the long term. North Slope exploration and production projects take both time and investment with a magnitude much greater than other U.S. oil horizons such as North Dakota and Texas. I look to your guiding Alaska forward in such a way to ensure we continue the prosperity we've enjoyed. I believe we need to free up capital and encourage the producers to, one, find ways to produce the new existing, produce the existing horizons, two, encourage development of exploration efforts for new oil, and three, find a way to allow Alaska to compete back to the top of the U.S. oil production food chain. I, for one, do not mind living with less today so my children and their children can work and live in Alaska in the future. Thank you for this opportunity to speak to your committee.
John, thank you for joining us this afternoon. For those listening, Senator Meyer had to step away just for a few minutes. This is Senator Fairclough, and I'd like to welcome Lenny Rood from Chugiak to the committee. Lenny, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Chairperson, and Senate Finance Committee. I'm speaking on behalf of myself and my family today. I appreciate the opportunity to speak here. I support the Senate Bill 21. We moved up here in 2004. My wife was transferred in the military, and since then, you know, we have become Alaska residents, and actually I do love the state. My children went to school at Chugiak High School. My daughter graduated last year, and I tried to influence her to go to school in Alaska, and basically she told me, she said, "Why do I want to go to school that don't support the residents that work hard every day?" So, you know, being a dad, it's really important for me to support my family. That's why I'm here. That's why I work. So I allowed her to make her choice, and she went out of state to college. I'm still going to continue to try to bring her back in state, but I have a younger daughter that's a sophomore. You know, we're talking, I hear the pros and the cons, but I see it every day. I'm in the construction business, also with a construction company over 40 years in the state of Alaska. And our people are going out of state. We have to allow this to happen. We're going out of state to support personnel that's been loyal to us since coming here. Trying to grow a company and compete with the taxes and the low oil production is very difficult. We are losing people to the North Dakota, the Dakotas, Texas. We try to keep as many Alaskans in the state of Alaska as we can. You know, if we don't get something taken care of soon, our long-term goals and plan for the state is declining. You know, we're not going to continue to be able to support the Alaskans on the long term. If we allow the decline in production, our revenue for the long term will also decline. I urge you please to support Governor Parnell, Senate Bill 21, and I do appreciate the opportunity to speak with you this evening. Thank you.
Mr. Rood, thank you for joining us tonight. Are there questions from committee members? Seeing none, is there anyone in Juneau that would like to testify today? If you'd come before to the microphone, I'll key up one more in Anchorage and then we'll go to you. In Anchorage, Katie Capozzi. Katie, are you with us?
Hi, yes, good evening. For the record, my name is Katie Capozzi. I'm speaking on behalf of myself. As I testified a couple weeks ago in Senate Resources, this is my third year in a row testifying before the legislature, advocating for meaningful changes to our oil tax policy. When I testified for the first time back in March of 2011, TAPS was running at about 636,000 barrels per day. When I testified to Senate Resources on February 21st, it was running at 580,002 barrels. And yesterday, 568,135 barrels ran through the pipeline. For 2 years and nearly three legislative sessions, while the legislature and the public have debated the merits of whether oil tax reform is necessary, and portal of countless slides indicating Alaska does not compete, we have watched the supply of oil in our pipeline drop by about 68,000 barrels per day. This is concerning. There's no reason why, during historically high oil prices, Alaska shouldn't be enjoying the increased investment that results in production. And if I could just go off script here a little bit, I've heard a few people tonight say, take your time, it's too soon, we don't know enough yet. I think I just proved a point in that we've been talking about this for 3 years now, and I couldn't disagree with those folks more. I'm actually concerned that we've waited too long. So I'm asking today that you act swiftly and adopt oil tax legislation, meaningful oil tax legislation, this session, that follows the governor's four guiding principles. Thanks for the opportunity to testify, and I appreciate your service to the state.
Thank you so much for joining us, Katie. Here in Juneau, Tony, is it Tings?
Tings, yes.
Tings, sir, your testimony.
Am I on?
You are.
Okay, thanks. I have been sitting here listening to a number of people speak who support the governor's bill, and yet they seem to be in conflict with him because the governor spoke at the start of this year about how the state was doing so good, we had all this money, more jobs, more people were moving to the state, he literally said, than in the last 20 years. So things are up, and it's because of ACEs, and we will lose a lot of jobs if we make such a radical change. A lot of jobs come from the state getting monies and building bridges, building roads, building schools, building all kinds of infrastructure. So it is something that's really going to hit us. It's going to hit us hard. A lot of these people probably don't know that our resource will be sold for less than half at current prices. And if they knew that, maybe their tune would change. So it's very interesting. I think you've got to be very, very careful for making such a drastic change. Very, very careful. Maybe you should think about it if you got 99% acclaim for this idea. But I suggest not. And also, just it'd be also different if the one bringing the change had no connections to the oil industry. So it's something you've got to consider very carefully. I don't think the price of oil is going to go down, and I don't think anyone in this room thinks it's going to go down. And we'll lose a lot of money. We'll lose a lot of jobs. I think we should respect the work of the many Alaskans that came together to create ACEs. It was not a naive accident created by fools. It was the result of Alaskans of both parties coming together in a deliberate process to create a very wise act that was then signed into law by Republican Governor Sarah Palin. My hat is off to her, and I think everybody's hat should be off to her in this room. Thank you very much.
Are there questions from committee members? Thank you, Tony, for coming today. Is there anyone else in Juneau wishing to testify? We'll head back to Anchorage at the Anchorage LIO. Ed Gore. Ed, are you there?
Hi, my name is Ed Gore. I'm a lifelong Alaskan, and I started a company called Delta Constructors out of Anchorage. And guess where our major work's at? North Dakota. In less than a year, we have over 100 people working full-time down there. Why would that be? It's a better environment for work, and they're doing more work down there. They're doing capital project work. So in Canada, I have over 100 people in less than a year. In Alaska, I've been here 5 years. And I have exactly 5 people working. It's really about jobs, people. And Alaska is not competitive right now. North Dakota continues to grow. We'll be at 200 people within another year, maybe 300. And we also have work in Canada, and we expect to be to 150 people in a year and a half there. In Alaska, I really don't see that happening for us. Remember, it's about getting jobs and employing people. Thank you very much.
Are there questions from committee members? Mr. Gore, thank you for joining us this evening. Next in the Anchorage LIO, Jason Bruni. Jason, are you with us?
Thank you, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jason Bruni. I am the chair of the Consumer Energy Alliance Alaska Board of Directors, the vice chair of the Anchorage branch of the Alaska Miners Association. I serve on the boards of numerous nonprofits in the state, and I also co-chair Governor Parnell's transition team on energy, resources, and the environment. That organization, that group of about 30 Alaskans, met right when Governor Parnell was elected, and our number one issue was filling the pipeline. That remains our number one issue, and the number one item about filling the pipeline that we agreed unanimously as a group that needed to be dealt with was the progressivity issue of ACEs. I absolutely support the concepts of SB 21 as a good start, but frankly, I don't think it goes far enough. As our previous speaker indicated, it's about jobs. Well, the cost of doing business in Alaska, because of our remote locations, because of our lack of infrastructure, you name it, is much more expensive than the other infrastructures around the other areas around the world. So indeed, our tax regime should be all the more competitive because taxes are absolutely a cost that goes into the full picture, and companies will look at what those costs are when they're deliberating where they want their investment dollars to go. We should make it as competitive as we possibly can because those costs for everything else are more here in Alaska. When we signed, when the companies bid on those leases, they knew what the royalties would be, 12.5% or 16 2/3%. Those royalties are the fair share of the state of Alaska. Taxes are a choice. They're a choice of legislators like yourself. We hear often that we are an owner state. Indeed, we are an owner state thanks to the royalties. Half of those royalties go into the permanent fund, and we are owners of ExxonMobil, 1.3 million shares. We are owners of BP, 9 million shares. So I guess we're going to get the money one way or the other. Frankly, I prefer to be the other. I think that we need to make significant changes to our tax regime in the state to lure more companies back to Alaska and to make Alaska the place that people want to come and invest their dollars. Once these people leave, unfortunately, a lot of the support sector, service sector folks that go along with them, they leave as well, and we're seeing them depart from North Dakota and other jurisdictions around the world. We want to get them to stay here, and we need to make Alaska the right place to invest, and I urge you to expeditiously pass as a starting block SB 21, but I urge you to go much further. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Are there questions from committee members? Seeing none, Jason, thank you for joining us. With that, I'd like to take a brief at ease. I just wanted the committee to know that we did notice the meeting from 4 to 6 for the public to call in. So we'll go at ease and see if someone calls in, and then we will come back on the record and in the meeting. But we want to make sure that the people have an opportunity for the next 10 minutes still to call in. So with that, we're at ease. We're back on the record. It is 5:55. We do have someone calling in from off-net. Carolyn Bowler, are you there?
This is Caroline Bowler. Yes, I am. Good afternoon. My name is Caroline Bowler. I am a nonpartisan and have been since I first voted almost 50 years ago. I worked in the oil industry, first on the TAPS line at the base camp on Fort Wainwright, then on the North Slope for ARA services, and finally for Standard Oil from 1979 until British Petroleum took over the company. I left the best job I ever had by taking the first buyout that was offered. You have heard testimony from people who support maintaining Alaska's clear and equitable share, or ACES as it is commonly called. From the other side, you have an alternate view from the industry's friends, which supports the push of the multinational oil companies to further enrich themselves. British Petroleum, Exxon, and Conoco are fighting Alaskans through misinformation, massive advertising about how essential they are, and through political donations to both elected officials and or those who wish to become elected officials. And if Alaskans, the real owners of this resource, continue to get the short end of the stick, well, that's just too bad. Please don't forget, these producers are nothing but contractors. Would you hire a contractor to come to your home, let them tell you what you are going to get and how much you're going to pay? Recent information has been presented which demonstrates how other countries employ these contractors. These countries set the price for their oil, collect the money, and then pay the contractors. Within the last 24 months, British Petroleum, Exxon, and Shell signed contracts with Iraq to produce Iraqi oil for $1.99 per barrel. What's wrong with this picture? You have the opportunity, the unique opportunity, to serve the people of this great state. How you honor this opportunity will be remembered. You and your colleagues should remember the oath you took when you joined the legislature. There is nothing in the oath about getting reelected. There is nothing in the oath about going along to get along. Please remember how you felt when you uttered this oath. Thank you.
Are there questions from committee members? Carolyn, thank you so much for calling in.
Well, first of all, I want to apologize for rushing through it, and thank you for the work that you folks are doing. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Have a great evening. With that, we'll just stay online since we're just a couple minutes away and see if there's anyone else who might want to join us. Is there anyone else at any of the LIOs with anyone wishing to testify? Anyone off net? Is there anyone in Juneau wishing to testify on the CS for Senate Bill 21, Finance, Oil and Gas Production Tax? Seeing and hearing none, the public hearing is closed. Is there anything else to come before the committee? 6 o'clock, I just want to take thank you to our staff that have stayed to help support the committee. With that, we're adjourned.